We Irish apparently love to save money, and we're good at it too. Latest reports suggest that there's more than 170 billion euro on deposit in Irish savings accounts. But for some reason, we really don't like investing it. Cue Simon Harris to the rescue with a new plan to incentivise us to take greater risks with our savings and invest our spare cash. But will we do it? Will it work? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And the Finance Minister, Simon Harris, wants to make, according to him, investing clearer, simpler and more accessible for ordinary people. His proposal is a new type of investment account, one place to put your money with a clear and consistent way of taxing it. Now, maybe the reason we like our old-fashioned savings and deposit accounts is because they're simple. Because if you want to invest in anything beyond, say, a property or a pension, things do get a little bit more complicated. And let's face it, once someone starts talking about ETFs or deemed disposal or CGT, most of us zone out, but do stay with us. Because many do keep the few euro they have on deposit where it's safe, but they're basically losing value every single day that it sits in the bank. And I do think there's probably memory at play here, the crash and bank failures and big losses, maybe even Aircom. And for those of us who lived through the Great Recession, it does still shape how we think about risk. So now the government wants a reset. But is the Harris plan really what we need? Well, who better to tell us than Sinead Ryan from The Home Show here on News Talk. You're very welcome to the podcast, as always.
Thank you, Ciara. I do hope we're not going to start by calling it the Harris plan. I mean, that's not...
No, let's not. Let's give it a different title. Are you one of these people that has anywhere around the 170 billion euro in deposits?
Oh, it's all on my account. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, Sinead. You give me the vibe as somebody who has a deposit account, who does actually have savings.
I do. And I think the important thing is not just savings of itself. Most people have savings.
Which seems actually a bit strange, I do think, to be talking about at a time when we talk about the cost of living, people feeling completely squeezed, this inability to meet bills, to make ends meet. And yet, the facts are the facts. There's 170 billion euro in a population of 5.5 million on deposits. So people do have cash.
And
it's
remember,
there.
That's what the central bank terms household deposits. It's not corporations, it's not companies, it's not money from business. It's just ordinary households, obviously some a lot richer than others. And while it is true that there are people in Ireland and quite a cohort of them who are literally living pension to pension or paycheck to paycheck, there is a sizable number, the majority of people would have money put by, whether it's just for the next couple of months or whether it's a longer term aim for them. But 170 billion is an enormous amount of money. And the problem is that in the absence of the banks needing the money, and they don't need it and they don't want it. So they're certainly not going to pay for it. And all that happens is your money is sitting in a bank account and it gets loaned out to people who are buying cars and buying houses and taking out other loans, which, Ciara, are often the same people. So we have this kind of strange structure in Ireland, and it's not only local to us, we just excel at it, where we can hold these two thoughts in our one head. On one hand, we can have savings in the bank earning nothing, and another one, we're maxing out a credit card, which is costing 22% interest. And people can live with that thought, and they want that thought, because an economist would say, well, that's ridiculous. You take one out of this and you pay it off the other and job's done. But thankfully, we're not all economists and people don't actually behave like that.
And is it that people, do you think, want the security blanket? People like to think, look, there's a stash there. Should everything go wrong? Should we lose a job? Should the car break down one day? Should a child suddenly need to put their hands on a bit of money for something? Is that what it is for a lot of people?
It is more than that. That what you've just pointed out there is very prudent saving. It's really important to have a nest egg and money put by for the things that can go wrong. And things do go wrong and life gets in the way. And we don't want to be reaching for the credit card when that happens or having to beg for a bank loan. So it's really important. Experts would say somewhere between 3 and 6 months' salary should be in a savings account for a rainy day. The savings piece is different. That's why are people hoarding more money than that? Why are they terrified of not doing something useful with it? So this is not money they're going to need in the case of an emergency. This is money that they have sitting on deposit for a child who's going to college in 16 years. They've money sitting on deposit even though they're 24 years from retirement. They've money on deposit even though they've just retired and have half a million quid in sitting in AIB. That is not normal saving. That's something else.
So that's peculiar to Ireland.
Well, the Germans do quite a lot of this as well. But there's a blockage there that stops people making the money work for them. And part of that is definitely fear. I mean, there's whole generations. I'm now on the third recession, right? We're heading into a recession now. Sorry, folks, breaking news, right? We're going to be heading into a recession because it's a market correction well overdue and with everything that's going on in the Middle East. So by this time next year, the chances are we will be in a recession. Now, you don't have to be my age. You don't have to be terribly old to remember the last one and the one before that, because these things are cyclical. You can predict them. That's what markets try to do. You also have a nervousness about the leaders, in inverted commas, that we have across the world and how they're dealing with things. And all that, along with the muscle memory of people who invested in Aircom shares, people who invested in property that tanked, people who bought their next door neighbour's house as their pension and that tanked. So it's not hard to see why people are saying, look, if it's in the bank and I can go in on my app and see it sitting there, it's there.
It's safe.
I can touch it. I can feel it. I can have it tomorrow.
But to that really important point, you're not really making anything on it sitting there. You're actually getting charged for sitting there and it's going down in value every single day.
Yes. Now, part of this is because people don't really understand. Inflation is a tough concept to understand, right? But essentially it means that if I have 100 euros in the bank today and I leave it there until next year, then it won't buy me 100 euros worth of goods then. It'll cost me 120 to get 100 euros. So over time, you're losing the value of that money, but you're still seeing 100 euros. So in your head, you're thinking, I still have 100 euros. Look, it's there. It was there last year. It'll be there in 5 years' time and I can take it out. It just won't have the same buying power. Ronald Reagan, the former US president, used to call inflation the silent mugger, because it kind of comes up and bites your money away, even though it leads you to believe that you've the same money you always had. Where you don't have interest matching the rate of inflation, or indeed you don't have wages matching the level of inflation. People are finding that now. They're finding their groceries are costing more, their fuel is costing more, they're not earning anymore. That's exactly what inflation is on your savings account.
I just remember getting £64 for my first communion. And I was a prudent, sensible thing. Shock horror, nobody who knows me now would believe that. But I was quite a prudent little saver. And I remember basically going to my leave insert and realising it was worth nothing. You know, it sat there. And that's was my first introduction, I think, to,
I'd say
this is why leaving money in deposit. This is what inflation is.
£64 when you're seven. Your taste's improved.
Maybe, maybe not. Okay, let's go to what Simon Harris has been talking about, right? This new plan, because he's been talking around it for the last couple of months, but he put some flesh on it earlier this week at a conference in Dublin. Can you explain it to me?
So at the moment, it's a kind of a plan about a plan. There's no product. There's nowhere to go to buy it or sell it or invest in it. So we're waiting on all of that information. What we've got is a series of announcements that something must be done. And the reason for this is because the government doesn't want you saving this way. One in every 7 euros of our income is saved. That's too much. It's languishing in a bank. People aren't getting a return. They get cross about that. But nor do they want to be walloped by going out and buying equities and stocks and shares and cryptocurrency and be left with nothing. This is a way of trying to get it to move around. We already know the banks don't want it because they're not prepared to pay for it. So what he is likely talking about is a type of savings scheme, which is popular in many countries, whereby you put a certain amount of money into an investment fund, not a deposit account. So you're not going to earn interest that's guaranteed in the normal way. You're going to be buying a basket of goods, and that might include stocks and shares and companies. It might track one of the stock indices. It might include government gilts and bonds and a bit of cash. So it's a mixture of loads of things, and good fund managers' jobs will be to keep that going and make sure it makes a profit. You'll be allowed to invest in that. And the first tranche of money that you get out of that, the profit, whereas it would normally be taxed at varying degrees, depending on what it's in now, won't be taxed. So it won't apply to the whole lot, because then you'll have all the millionaires putting their money in and claiming all the profits. So it'll be really to target people who are low-level savers, or what they like to call the squeezed middle, the people who feel, well, I get nothing. I pay for everything and I get nothing back. This'll be your something back if you've got some money.
But that product that you talk about, that's already available out there, isn't it?
It is.
And there's lots of companies and banks around the country that would be more than happy to take your money and say, we'll invest it for you. So what's the difference?
So the difference seems to be one of tax. So if you go along to Irish Life or Zurich or any of those companies whose job it is to provide pension funds or life insurance savings products, you can absolutely buy one of 100 type of products, all with different risk profiles depending on your age and your circumstances and what you want to do with the money. However, first of all, there are fees and charges attached to putting your money into one of those, and the commissions can be quite hefty. But secondly, when you take it out, when you profit from that, hopefully you will, then there is a tax that is taken off that. And it's very significant. It's called disposal tax. It's 38%. Now, that's only just come down from 41% in the last budget. So that's 38%, more than a third of whatever profit you make, whack, gone. It gets worse, because even if you leave it there and you don't take the profit out, the government comes and takes 38% out anyway every 8 years. And that's called deemed disposal tax. It's really unfair. It's really expensive, and it puts people off, and I wouldn't blame them.
And Simon Harris has said we don't have an investment culture. Well, that's perhaps a big part of the reason.
It's one of the reasons. People get nervous around that. So what we know, when we last had an investment product before Simon Harris's time, it was called the SSIA. Lots and lots and lots of people. It was incredibly popular. People finally, you know, found money behind the sofa. All the people who said, I can't afford to save and I've no money, all found 256 Irish pounds every single month to put away in those products. Hugely popular. What made it popular was that it was extremely simple to understand. You put in £4, the government put in £1. That's it. Done. Right? You don't have to worry about tax reliefs and credits and revenue and filling out forms. That was the way it worked. Secondly, it was short term. It lasted a fixed number of years, in that case, 5. And the third thing was that it was guaranteed. So from day one, you knew what you were going to get at the other end. Your people had it spent by month 2. Mm. They were booking their cruises, they were arranging their trips, they had put on the extension on the house because they had certainty.
And this isn't going to offer that.
This is not going to offer that.
Now, one of the big complications, I think, for people, if you do have any interest, right, in investing your deposit, is that if you do so and you make any money off it every single year, then you have to declare that. If you're not using a Zurich, for example, or you're not using one of the big investment firms, you have to go off and go on your RAS and download your, I think, Form 11 and declare you have this income and that you've made this return and pay out. That's really complicated for a lot of people.
It is. And anybody who has a Revolut account at the moment, where, by the way, they make this very easy, a couple of taps and you've invested in a fund, sometimes whether you like it or not, you are supposed to return all of that to revenue and say, look, I invested money somewhere. It doesn't matter where, because you live in Ireland, so that's where your tax is due. I've made a profit and now I have to pay 33% tax on it. That's called capital gains tax. And that's a requirement that you can earn €1,270 every year tax-free. Everything over that is taxed at 33% in terms of interest. Now, when you just have a savings account on Bank of Ireland or AIB, you're never going to make that much money. So it's irrelevant and people haven't had to do it. It doesn't matter. If you do make return on it, they will automatically remit your tax back to government. But where you have done it yourself by investing, taking out of a fund, yes, you have to declare it and you have to pay tax on it. And that is form filling. It's complicated. You have to have an account online, and revenue can and will come after you if you don't do it.
So he's been talking about trying to simplify what are quite complicated financial matters. How can they change the language and the system to make sure it is truly accessible to people?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And this is going to be absolutely crucial if it is to work. So it can't be the SSIA. Okay, because that is hyperinflationary. It's really, really expensive. And the chances are the EU might now turn around and say you can't do that. It's anti-competitive. Okay, that was at a point in time. So
it was good while it lasted, folks. May she rest in peace, the old SSIA scheme.
God bless Charlie McCreevy. There you go. So, look, it has to be something that's as easily understood and engaged as that. But it can't be that. And because people don't understand tax credits and tax reliefs and that form filling and all that stuff, it has to be automatic. So a bit like the dirt tax that the banks remit on savings accounts now. So if it can fall somewhere in there and be lucrative and sensible, people will probably go for it. Now, there is a model. They have two that are most well known. One is in the UK. It's called an ISA, an individual savings account. And the other is a Swedish model, the ISK. And that seems to be the one that the government is looking at presently, a type of product like that. So we wouldn't be reinventing the wheel. This is available. It's kind of a sign of a pen stuff in the budget. This doesn't require like tons of legislation or anything like that. This is just something that they can decide to do if they want.
So you put the money in, the money that you take out, the profit that you make wouldn't be taxed, but there is going to be a tax on it across the year, isn't there?
Yes, there will be some tax of some kind. However, they're looking towards a very low level of a flat rate. So you don't get taxed the more you have, put it that way, which is probably a good thing, right? It's not incremental like PAYE tax. So what happens in the Swedish model is you put your money in to this investment account and you will do it according to your risk profile, the risk you're happy with. Not everybody will be shoved into stocks that they don't want. There's usually five types of risk profile that most of the providers offer. A simple questionnaire would work out what kind of category you fall into, although there will be brokers and advisors who can do this work as well. So it goes into a particular investment fund and you'll be allowed to earn a certain amount tax-free as profit. Okay, so your profit up to that level, tax-free. You can take it out whenever you want. You can use it for whatever you like, but that's the amount you can earn over the entire account forever. So if that works, that would be great. That means there's no capital gains tax when you cash it in and take out the money. So currently, that's 38%. There's no deemed disposal tax. They're not going to come in and swipe it every few years, whatever you do with it. And there's no dirt tax, which is 33%. So if they remove all of that and they charge, in the Swedish model, it's under 1% off the top, that would be something that people, I think, could probably get on board with and understand.
Okay, so those are all of the pros that are there, right? And these are all of the incentives that they're hoping lure people in. But obviously with a scheme like this or any scheme, there are potential cons here too, aren't there? Like you hear at the end of any ad that's about investments, investments may go up and down as well. You know, note to self, the money isn't guaranteed. And funny, I was trying to explain to my 7-year-old daughter when I was coming in here today what we were talking about, right? And obviously at 7 years of age, I don't know how you explain investments, but I tried my best to explain what I was talking about, you know, based on her own wee piggy bank that she has. And I talked for 10 minutes. And at the very end of it, she said, "There's still a risk I could lose some money, isn't there?" And that was a whole takeaway from 10 minutes. And I thought, well, if a 7-year-old can pick up on that, then no wonder adults feel nervous about these things, particularly in a culture like Ireland where we haven't been investing the way they have in other countries.
Yeah, and your daughter is one of 83% of people who, according to ESRI research, feel exactly the same. In fact, she could now be a candidate for the think tank that Simon Harris is going to set up, because it is absolutely the case that Irish people, for all their legacy and history and everything that's happened them in the past and all the Irish mammy warnings, do not want to take a risk. And the difficulty is, even if you set this up, if people put all of their money into the lowest possible risk account, which will only really have cash and maybe some gilt products in it, you're just not going to make the return. And then where are you? So I think that is going to be an important piece that the government have to get people's heads around. It is, how will it work and what is the risk factor? The second thing is the transparency. I mean, you have big multinationals out there now who run our pensions and savings industry. They're not going to do this for free. So what are their charges? How are they going to be structured? Where does that money come from? How much of my money has been deducted to pay for this? Is the government going to pay for it? That doesn't seem likely. And then thirdly, there's an inherent distrust of what the government could do next if it changes its mind, or there's a change of government. We found not too many years ago when private pension funds, the ones that are least well funded compared to the golden handshake public sector pensions, were raided with the pensions levy, which was inherently unfair. It was attaching to the wrong types of pensions, and people remember it and they don't like it. So for all of those reasons, this is going to be a hard sell in reality. There might be a lot of excitement generated around it. A lot of people will be planning ahead, but actually putting it in place and making sure it works is very, very difficult. And there is a financial literacy piece. So you were talking about piggy banks. I brought in my piggy bank. It's great for radio, right?
Okay, just so you know, I'm going to explain this now. Sinead has this thing. She looks
pink.
Like she...
This is piggy.
This
Don't
is piggy. It's pink. Right, it's right. Ceramic. It looks like something you'd make in a camp in a summer when you're about 9. You've probably had it for that long, have you?
This was my lockdown one project.
No wonder you suffered during the COVID.
Just as well, I'm not going to become an artist, right? And I use this to explain financial literacy because, Kira, in school, like me, I expect you learned all about compound interest and quadratic equations and Oxbow Lakes and AER and everything, right? So my piggy is used to display how we adapt financial literacy in this country, which is really, really bad. And it's not just us, by the way. This is a European problem. Christine Lagarde, by the way, is now reduced to doing TikTok videos over in Brussels, trying to explain to people to get more involved with their money. OK, so we're going to take our piggy bank here and we're going to save for 1 month. We're going to start with 1 cent. I'm giving you all my money now. Look at this. Okay. So we're going to start with 1 cent and then we're going to double it every day. So the next day, on the second of the month, two cents. And on the third of the month,
4 cents.
Well done. You're ahead. You're
honors
a winner
maths.
Here.
Hello,
right?
It was not in vain. Okay.
Right. And then the next day, 8 cents. So we've got 1, 2, 4, 8. Okay. And we're going to double that for 1 month. We're going to do that. How much is going to be in piggy at the end of the month?
That's not a fair question. I don't know. I can't think that quickly.
Can you guess?
I'm looking at my producer.
No,
here
he hasn't a clue either.
No, my daughter, does she know? No.
5.3 million euros. No trick question.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot.
That is compound interest at 100% daily rate. So you get to about day 8 and reckon that's not going to work out. I'm not going to be able to keep this up, right? But even if you put in 1 cent, this is a great one. I do it every January, 1st of January. I get a Pringles carton, stick a hole in the top, eat all the Pringles. That's the best thing about this investment and savings plan, right? Eat all the Pringles, put a slit in the top. And you start with your 1 cent again. But the next day you just add 1 cent. So it's 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent within 1 year. So on the most expensive day, you're only going to be putting in €3.65. You'll have €669 in there. And that's going to pay for your Christmas.
She's good. I told you she was good. And that is why she is one of the people contributing to the 170 billion euro. And that's why she didn't keep her first communion money until she was 18 years of age. Do you think it's going to work, Sinead?
Look, I think something is needed. And quite seriously, this could be it. This could be something. I think the government has a hurdle to get over. There's a reason there's 170 billion in there. It's not because people are super rich. It's not even because they feel rich. It's because of that anxiety and fear. All hoarding comes down to anxiety. So if you can identify what are they afraid of and how can we fix that, then I think it absolutely has a chance to work.
Sinead Ryan, an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks so much for joining us here on News Talk Daily. You can catch the home show on News Talk every Saturday evening at 5 p.m. or anytime on the Go Loud player. That's Thursday's News Talk Daily. Thanks so much as always for your company. I'll be back with another edition of the podcast tomorrow. Until then, goodbye and get that Pringle box.